Now let's consider how the bullionist debates developed and finally ended. For purposes of background, recall that the Bank of England suspended convertibility into specie in 1797. If you haven't seen part one of the bullionist videos, please go watch that first. Perhaps the central event of the bullion debates was the publication of the Bullion Report in 1810. This was commissioned by the government, and basically it blamed the high prices on increases in the supply of paper money, putting forward a very definite version of the quantity theory of money. The report also argued for an eventual resumption of the tie to gold for the British pound. Two of the better-known authors behind this report were Francis Horner and Henry Thornton. I think of this report as being important not only for the quality of its analysis, but it set a kind of precedent that here you could have the government call together a committee, and as a general principle, that committee would be able to produce high-quality economic analysis. You can, by the way, find this in Google Books. Just Google for Report of the Bullion Committee of 1810. David Ricardo was at first a bond trader, but he was to become one of England's most famous economists, and he wrote a very famous pamphlet around this time called The High Price of Bullion, where he staked out a very consistent bullionist position based on a belief in the quantity theory of money. This you can also read online. It's a model of clarity, and it's really what got Ricardo his start as an economist. If you're wondering, by the way, Thomas Malthus also was more or less on the bullionist side of the debate, but he adopted a much more moderate position than did Ricardo. If you're interested in the dissenters, I would refer you to Thomas Attwood, leader of what is sometimes called the Birmingham School. Attwood was a big defender of just pure paper money, not a gold standard. He thought the standard for good monetary policy was whether you had full employment, and he understood quite well the dangers of what we now call debt deflation, that is, if prices fall, that increases the real value of debts, and that can be a significant economic problem. In a variety of regards, Attwood was quite modern and is a kind of precursor of what later became Keynesian arguments. So from these bullionist debates and actual practice, what was it that finally happened? Well, recall, convertibility was suspended in 1797, and it wasn't actually restored until 1821, which is a full 24 years later, keeping in mind that the wars were ending essentially in 1815. Once an economy has had a good deal of inflation, restoring convertibility at anything like the old rate very often brings deflation. So what was it that happened in and around 1821? Well, prior to 1821, there was actually a fair amount of deflation in the British economy, and this made restoring convertibility easier. The deflation was in fact painful, but whether the reconnection to gold brought additional deflation, well, that was somewhat moderated. In any case, starting in 1821, it now can be said that what was later called the classical gold standard is underway. In addition to the sources I've already mentioned, for further reading, I still recommend David Laidler's excellent piece on the bullionist controversy. Thomas Humphreys has an excellent short essay on classical deflation theory. Jacob Viner is consistently excellent on the history of monetary economics. Also, there's a good piece by Larry Neal, which is online. Thomas Attwood, unfortunately, is not as well served online as he could be, but there is a book edited by F.W. Fetter, and that collects a lot of Attwood's central writings, and perhaps you can find that in your library. Or better yet, maybe more of Attwood will come online.